Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you CIA, Babylon, and the Global Fear of Reggae. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. They said it was just music. They said he was just a man with a guitar. But somewhere in the shadows of embassies and intelligence reports, they knew better. Reggae was more than rhythm. Bob Marley was more than a singer. And Babylon was afraid. They were listening, long before the world knew what one love really meant. Long before Marley's face appeared on t-shirts in Times Square or murals in Johannesburg. The eyes of empires were already fixed on him. Not because he was a pop star, but because he was dangerous. You see, Bob Marley didn't just make people dance. He made them think. He made them question. He made them rebel. And to systems built on control, that made him a threat. In the 1970s, Jamaica wasn't just a small island in the Caribbean. It was a geopolitical chess piece. The Cold War was raging. The US and the USSR were fighting proxy wars across the globe. And in Jamaica, left-leaning Prime Minister Michael Manley had begun flirting with socialism, quoting Castro, leaning into Pan-Africanism. That's when the CIA showed up. Officially, they weren't there. No documents. No names. But Kingston started changing. Gangs became better armed. Paranoia swept through neighborhoods. Leaders disappeared. Journalists were harassed. And then came the rumors. Rumors that Bob Marley was being watched. He was too influential. Too independent. Too unbought. He wasn't on payroll. He couldn't be controlled. And that scared Babylon. In 1976, when Bob agreed to perform at the Smile Jamaica concert, just 2 days before national elections, the power structure panicked. Some saw it as him endorsing Manley's party. Others just saw an opportunity. 2 days before the concert, gunmen stormed Marley's home. 7 armed men. Dozens of rounds fired. Bob was shot. His wife Rita was shot. His manager Don Taylor was nearly killed. And yet no arrests. No suspects. No justice. Just silence. To this day, some believe it was a politically motivated hit. Others whisper the CIA pulled the strings. And Marley? He never pointed fingers. But he knew. He called it Babylon, that global system of exploitation, deception, and imperial power hiding behind flags and borders. And in his music, he exposed it. So much trouble in the world. Babylon's system is the vampire. We refuse to be what you wanted us to be. Every lyric was a warning. A broadcast. A call to arms, not with bullets, but with truth. And Babylon heard it loud and clear. They tried everything, surveillance, threats, censorship, but they couldn't kill the message. Because Marley wasn't broadcasting from a radio station. He was broadcasting from the people. From the streets of Trenchtown. From the hills of Ethiopia. From the hearts of revolutionaries, students, workers, refugees. People who had nothing but still found a reason to dance. They underestimated him. They thought he was just another rebel with a mic. But Marley wasn't singing for rebellion. He was singing for redemption. And redemption is contagious. From Zimbabwe to Brazil, South Africa to the Bronx, his message lit fires the world couldn't put out. And the CIA. They watched. They logged. They listened. They feared. Because while they had guns, he had jaw. While they had data, he had the people. And while they built empires from war, he built movements from rhythm. So if you ever hear someone say Bob Marley was just a reggae artist, remember this. The most powerful agencies on earth monitored a man with no army, no money, no weapon, except truth. And it terrified them. Because Marley didn't just sing against Babylon. He exposed it.